May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Who doesn't love movies? They are part of our culture and our psyche. We identify with story plots and the many layered emotions a movie can bring. We remember movies from our childhood and throughout our lives. There are some movies we could watch over and over again and do. Years later, we instantly can identify movies when we hear a famous line or even part of a line. I don't even have to tell you the name of the movie. For example, here's Looking at You, Kid. Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. Frankly, my dear, I'll have what she's having. I wonder, and may the force be with you, to which many Episcopalians immediately say, and also with you. Then there's one of my all-time favorites. Faith is believing when common sense tells you not to. Which leads us into the famous quote from today's gospel that we hear every year on the second Sunday of Easter. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. While quotes are great, we all know they do not tell the whole story. And it is the same with the famous Doubting Thomas quote from John's Gospel today. I, for one, have always thought that Thomas got a bad rap. This Gospel lesson, which does not even mention the word doubt, is about the faith of all of us. The value of Christian fellowship, the gift of Jesus' peace, and our mission as Jesus' disciples. Let's start with faith. Our passage opens with all of the disciples, except Thomas, gathered together in a house on Easter evening with the doors locked in fear of the Jewish authorities. Not only were they afraid, but they appeared confused and perhaps with a good mixture of doubt, despite the fact that Jesus had appeared earlier to Mary Magdalene, and she subsequently told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and recounted the things he said to her. Whether they believed her or not, it is clear as they gathered behind locked doors that they were afraid and did not really seem like believers. Then suddenly, without a knock on the door, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced. The disciples' great joy was foretold in the 16th chapter of John when Jesus told them that their pain would turn to joy when they saw him again. They had their own personal encounter with Jesus, and they believed. When the disciples caught up with Thomas, they immediately told him, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas then uttered his famous quote that put conditions on his believing in Jesus. Just as the disciples had had a difficult time grasping Mary's experience with Jesus, Thomas had a difficult time understanding the disciples' encounter with Jesus. To me, these passages underscore the point that our faith is a personal, one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. Our faith and belief that Jesus died for our sins and by his resurrection overcame death and opened for us the way of eternal life is a step we must take by ourselves, just like Mary and Thomas and all the disciples before us. We share in Christ's victory when we individually say yes to Jesus and are baptized into the new covenant and become living members of Christ. Today's gospel also emphasizes that Jesus will meet us where we are and give us whatever is needed to further our faith. In the recorded post-resurrection appearances of Jesus in the Gospels, each appearance is different in the way in which Jesus connects with his followers. Mary believed when Jesus called her by name. The beloved disciple believed when he saw the empty tomb. Cleopas and the other follower Jesus met on the Emmaus Road spent time walking and talking with him, but didn't recognize him until Jesus' breaking of the bread. The disciples in the locked house had to see Jesus. And Thomas said he wouldn't believe until he touched Jesus' wounds. In each case, Jesus met his followers at the point where they were with love, compassion, and grace. He didn't lecture or chastise them for being slow in recognizing and believing in him. He allowed them the time they needed and gave them what they needed to believe. That is why he offered Thomas the chance to touch his wounds, which is exactly what Thomas had asked for a week earlier. Though John doesn't say whether Thomas actually put his hand on the nail marks or into Jesus' side, Thomas showed he truly believed when he answered Jesus in five knowing words, "My Lord and my God." All of us have differing needs, and we find various paths to faith. When I was in junior high school, we had a youth witness team come to our Methodist church and share their personal faith stories. It seemed like each one of them was out of control in the way they lived their lives until they believed in Jesus. And when they did, they said it was as if fireworks had been launched and trumpets were blaring. My initial response to their faith stories was to question my own faith. I hadn't done those types of things they had done in my life. In all honesty, I hadn't even heard of some of them before. And for me, I never experienced the fireworks and trumpets. It was my mom who told me there are different paths to find God, and that hers and mine clearly were more quiet, yet true. And you have to believe and know Jesus is in your heart. She reminded me of a favorite hymn, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine," ending with the chorus, "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." Or as the lead character in one of my favorite films said, "How could it be so? What if Christmas doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas perhaps means a little bit more?" Or as Jesus said in today's gospel, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This verse was written for each and every one of you and truly blesses us with God's grace and love. While our decision to believe in Jesus is a personal one, this gospel lesson also shows that our faith is nurtured and enhanced through Christian fellowship. John doesn't say why Thomas wasn't with the disciples. He should have been there. Not only did he miss being in Jesus' presence, seeing Jesus' proof, receiving Jesus' peace, and sharing Jesus' passion, but he missed being with his fellow believers and disciples in a time of pain that turned into joy. It is true, there is strength in numbers, and that is why this parish is so important to my family and to me. We pray for each other, and we lift each other up in those times of loss and pain. Like when the events of 9/11 occurred, our parish gathered for a special worship service to go forward in a time of despair. And we celebrate moments of thanksgiving, like the baptisms we will have today, when each of us will be asked to do all in our power to support these children of God and their life in Christ. It doesn't get much better than this. Not only are we blessed through the love and grace of Jesus, but through the peace of Jesus. The peace that passes all understanding. Imagine Christ coming into the darkest moments of your night to bring you his peace. Christ does that, you know. Christ comes to us giving his peace. We must open our eyes to see him, our ears to hear him, and our hearts to receive his peace. Imagine Christ coming to your home amidst the busy day of shuttling the kids between ballet, scouts, baseball, and the homework desk, and giving you his peace. Imagine Jesus coming to your office amidst deadline pressures and giving you his peace. Imagine him coming into your hospital room where the doctors are trying to determine your correct diagnosis and giving you his peace. Imagine Jesus sitting with your aging spouse or parent as their health fails and giving them his peace. My minister in college and good friend Wallace Chappell once said, "Our Lord knew what had to come first, for there can never be purpose in the world until there is peace in the heart." In the beginning of today's gospel, it is important to note that Jesus presented his peace to the disciples not once, but twice. He first said, "Peace be with you." He then added, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Why did Jesus do this? Wallace Chappell explained it well when he said the first time that he offered peace, he revealed the scars of his sacrifice. They had to have the confidence to know. The second time that he offered peace, he revealed the duty of discipleship. They had to have the summons to share. Confidence and commission. Assurance and activity. Trust and task. After telling the disciples that he will send them out in the world to minister in his name, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He equipped them and he equipped us with the Spirit. So we will never be apart from the love of God and are ready to minister to others. On this second Sunday of Easter, Jesus appears to each of us and asks us to believe. He calls us to support each other through his love, gives us his peace, and sends us out to share his love and peace with a broken world. Let us now go forth, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Amen.